yesterday afternoon, when I first got the word about the homegoing of Dawson, I went into Billy's room. I was at Tulsa. And, of course, at first he was stunned like all of us. And just like to all the team and to myself, of course, like part of us is just ripped out. And then I went back to see him a little bit later, and we read some verses of Scripture together that were certainly indeed a great comfort and help. And one of them was found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. You remember the story here. David's son was about to die, and David fasted and wept before the Lord. And then David saw that his servants whispered, and David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." In other words, you're just backwards. And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And the first thing I thought, well, I preached about this. I stood up here and I've said, because he lives, we shall live also forever. And do I believe it? And the Lord just brings it back reassuring to our hearts, doesn't he? That is really as true, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Is it really true in the Scriptures, as it says, to depart and be with Christ is far better? It is, isn't it? Sure it is. Not that there isn't a sorrow at separation, because I don't have any more of an appetite than you do. But on the other hand, there's joy, isn't there? As you stop and think about it. I was talking with someone the other day, and I thought, well, although Doss will have, I don't know, at least a few years left yet in ministry, he and I had talked many times about the day when he'd be turning over the work to others. We didn't think it would come quite so soon. But you know, one of the first things that Billy Graham said to me, and said to us at the team meeting this morning, at a team prayer meeting, he said, "I just can't help but believe that in the councils of heaven they had a special council meeting before they decided that they would take such an one as Dawson home." And he said, "You know, further, I think if we all sat down and tried to figure out the most wonderful way for the Lord to take Dawson, it would be a man who had given his life to help others, to give it, saving the life of another." And you couldn't ask for anything more glorious, could you? Now, we all could wish it were not true. I wish it were not true. And by the way, I have no little speech to give you. I just talk with you out of my heart of the few things that the Lord has brought. I wish it weren't true. It is true. And it is also true that God is love. Also, it's as true as anything could possibly be that God is sovereign. Isn't he? As I told Rodney on the phone yesterday, I'm sure that God didn't momentarily turn his back and not have his eye on the situation. I'm certain that that's not the case. And so we sorrow, sure we sorrow, all of us, but not as those who have no hope. And when you think of the victory in Christ, how grateful we can be to the Lord. And I would have come home directly last night. I would have had come by way of Kansas City. But when I told Billy, he was very insistent that I should stay. And I rode back from Tulsa with him and spent a couple of hours as we talked and prayed together. And came on over this morning. I talked with Lila a little while ago, and I had talked with her last night. And I have never heard a more radiant, triumphant, victorious voice in my life. Last night I was crushed. You know, I just no appetite, you know, your stomach and you're weak. And when I got through talking with Lila on the phone, I just was buoyed up. And again today, you know, just the grace of God, an answer to prayer. That's all there's to it. And so we can indeed be grateful to the Lord for that. As of this afternoon, they hadn't found the body yet. But as I said to Burke, they're not looking for your dad. They're just looking for the house he lived in. And I told somebody else, you know, I think that he has a far clearer insight on 2 Timothy 2:2 right now than he had down here. Because if the indication is that to depart is to be immediately in the presence of Christ, and there are some others that are in the presence of Christ too on that same promise, and, well, it won't be too many years, and all of us will go a similar route unless the Lord comes in the meantime, and then we will know more fully ourselves. As to the effect that this can have on us personally, the first thing that Billy said to me, and I just talked with him again, and he extends his love and his prayers and all of the team to all of you here at the Glen. And he said, "Oh God, help me to rededicate my life." And that's what I said in my own heart too. I just trust that we'll allow God to use it. Not in a sorrow of despair, but allow God to make full use, to just to burn down deep inside of each one of us and burn away the dross. And I'm sure that all of us would say that today there are certain things that don't seem nearly as important as they seemed yesterday. Right? But as I came over on the plane and I was reading some scripture, I thought, God has a great and wonderful purpose that I don't know. None of us know, I don't believe. But I'm confident He has a great and wonderful purpose. You don't put the name accident under that. There's no accident. And we say, well, if just somebody had... No. Well, what? Why? God had His hand on the entire situation. And I believe that God can and will use it. But this word to all of us and to myself, any deep moving experience in itself, in all the convictions and the things we may have vowed, not alone, need to be anchored in the thing that we've been taught to get into, and it's this book, the Bible, and Christ. And this is a day to let the full force of what God wants to teach all of us, you and me, to sink down. But it's also a day of great victory. Now, there are other scriptures. I don't know just exactly what to say. Maybe I'll read you some telegrams here first. This is from Daddy Moon. You know Daddy Moon? Oh, if you did, you'd know what this means. What a man of God. What a Christ-like man. He's the father of Irwin Moon, who makes these films, Sermon from Science. He used to be a speaker very frequently at the Navigator conferences. Here's what he says. The Lord must really love you, navigators. A lot of organizations could not take their leadership away because the thing would fall apart. The Lord can trust your organization to take your leader away and know His work will go on. Dawson is gone. We said Dawson is dead, but God's still alive. We wouldn't want it reversed, would we? Well, I suppose we would. In the natural, sure we would, but in God's perspective. Dr. Carnell, I can't help but feel that an era of evangelical Christianity has just passed with the going of Doss. Not so many weeks ago, I was just evaluating the things Doss has started that have affected the whole world. The emphasis on follow-up, on building men, on the disciplined life, on scripture memory. He paid the price. Well, Bob, in my mind's eye, I see a chapter of a book just closing. I see a new chapter with the pages all blank. It's up to you fellows to fill it in. In a story, each chapter gets better. I have worked with Doss for 15 years. And next to a few, I suppose I know him as well as any, and know that the great vision of his heart was that when the day came that God took a leader home, that the thing should have reproduced itself in a leadership, that the vision would go on. And you know, I think I've thought a lot of Moses, just to speak here a little at random. When time came for Moses to go, you know, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And you know, God buried Moses, and nobody to this day knows where God put him. And could be that that's what God wanted in this case. And then he went on, and Joshua was to take over, and he said, "Now, therefore, rise and go and possess the land. There's a job to be done." And as Billy and I were talking, if Doss could just have a moment to say a word to us right now, you know what he'd say? I'm pretty sure I know what he'd say. Let's get on with the job. Let's get on with the job. I know that in his Bible, and I'm going to borrow it if Lila will let me. I'm sure she will. And I want to go through Isaiah, his old first Bible, and get a lot along with it. And I want to look at the markings and the promises that God gave him. And I don't think that they ended yesterday. I believe that God wants to show that he could use a servant of his and take him home and God continue his work to fulfill the vision that he had. I really do, don't you? And I'm certainly not trying to minimize in any way the heartache that anyone feels. But the very next thing, Joshua, arise and go. And possess the land which I promised you. I promised it to Moses. Now, carry out the vision. When Elijah was taken, he too was taken all of a sudden, dramatically. And Elisha took the mantle of Elijah and he smote the waters and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And by faith, the waters parted. I think that we, all of us, need to step out now in faith that God is going to finish what he's begun. And he is going to fulfill the vision. And we have to remember that to go to a Christless eternity is infinitely worse than to be separated, as hard as that is, for 20, 30, 40 years. And to win a person to Christ and to carry out the vision of the gospel to every creature. Certainly, our lives should be rededicated to that. And not feel that, well, the one upon whom we lean, and upon whom we find we lean more than we realized. But not feel that now, though we are bewildered and overwhelmed And yet God is not bewildered and overwhelmed. As I think of some of the decisions to be made ahead, I am overwhelmed. And I just have to go back and say, well, Lord, I know you're not overwhelmed. You'll just have to take over, and I believe you will take over. We've seen it already. Merle Flood gave me a verse, said to me as she left, she and Lyman took me to the airport this morning, said, read Isaiah 43. And I said, well, I had thought this morning that I would read Isaiah 43 because I know that it contains some of the great promises that God had given to us. And you know, the verses that really struck me, well, I've claimed verse 2, of course, for Lila and the family, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. But look at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. We're talking about a memorial. You know, there are living memorials all over the world as the evidence of one man's life really yielded to Christ and surrendered to his will. Men, that's the thing that God laid on his heart. And I trust that God will use this these days just to penetrate my heart more deeply and more dedicated to carrying on that task than we have ever been in our lifetime. Why do I talk like this? Because I believe, though my heart is torn as yours, and I am stunned as you, and yet I believe that according to the scripture, that we should wash our faces, so to speak. We can't bring it back again. It is a fact, but he's in the presence of Christ. He won't come to us, but we'll go to him. And then, as an act of as real consecration in our own hearts and lives, to get on with the work that God has given us. Billy told me yesterday, he said, I want you to know, he said, look, anything we can do, you just make me a member of your staff. I don't care what it is. Just count me as a member of the staff, and I'll be with you and help you. Joe Blinko, who was the associate evangelist, gave the first chapter of Joshua. It was a thing that popped into his mind. He said, the moment he heard it, Merle, Isaiah 43, 2 Kings 2, 9 to 14. I've already mentioned that. And the Lord has given some other verses of Scripture. I was thinking some of these might be of a great help and comfort to you. You know, sometimes this matter of loss, I have used this with others. You remember Job? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And God took them all. At the end of the book of Job, it says that God promised him twice as many as he had before. So if you compare the first chapter of Job, you find he had 500 camels. In the last chapter, he gave him 1,000. He had 4,000 or 5,000 head of sheep. In the first chapter, the last chapter, you find God gave him 10,000. In the first chapter, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In the last chapter, God didn't make the mistake of giving him 14 sons and 6 daughters. He gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters, because he hadn't lost the others. They weren't with him, but he hadn't lost them. So we have hope, haven't we, in Christ? Have you stopped to think about those who have no hope? tonight at 12:30, Faith and Burke and I will leave from the Denver airport for New York and for Scroon Lake. And we will be there the rest of the week through Sunday. And on Sunday, as I got it from Lila, the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, Mr. Fuller is coming to Scroon Lake, and the Old Fashioned Revival Hour will be broadcast from Scroon Lake as a dedication or a memorial service for Doss. Billy just told me that he's thinking of using his life as his main message on the radio next Sunday. And various magazines have been calling us. And by the way, that's a matter for prayer, because in the midst of all these other things, there are magazines and newspapers calling and want information and all that want to... the King's Business is holding up their issue and so on. And it has been my prayer as I have come over and I have thought of all this that I know the way Doss would have it, and that is that Christ may be magnified. As Paul said, whether it be by life or by death, that Christ may be magnified. And that many will dedicate their lives anew and afresh, and some dedicate their lives who never have. Many. And that God will give men for his life and people for thee, and bring his sons from the east and the west and the north, like it says in Isaiah 43. And that there should be a greater chapter than ever written of the continuation of the vision that Doss labored so faithfully to impress upon the heart and mind of us. And certainly, the first thing not to do is to lose sight of the main heart burning desire and goal of his life. And that's the vision that God gave him. As to, we're getting quite a few phone calls from various people. I have another, and telegrams, offering to help, just dozens upon dozens of them, and people who are praying, and there's no doubt about the fact that just hundreds and thousands of prayers are going up constantly and continually. That is very, very evident. And there must be, and there must continue, because there are so many things that, well, the Lord just has to take and answer them, that's all. There's more than you can handle. Dick Hillis, this is from Norm Cummings. Dick Hillis and the entire Orient Crusades family join me in deep sorrow in the sudden homegoing of our beloved co-worker, Doss, and assure you of our love and prayers for God's sustaining grace and his wisdom for you and entire staff. Did you read this Williams from Dr. Epp? Does anybody happen to have a Williams translation close?
I have
Oh, do you? Good. We'll have a drink, drink of water close. I got a frog in my throat.
You want a drink?
Yes, is there a glass in that room? If there's any question, I'll wait a moment until I get a glass of water here. I've got a frog in my throat.
It's sure.
It's something. Yes.
You might pray that if it's his opportunity while he's in New York tomorrow, they'll have the chance to call Stanley High, who is the writer for Reader's Digest, and get a chance to get some suggestions and anything that he might have in mind at this time for us. And then on Saturday, Dan Pyatt arrives in Hoboken, New Jersey, and he physically is not well. I mean, he's not a sick fellow, but he's run down. And I think it's very strategic that Lauren goes down and meets him, and the possibility of whether Lila should go or not. That'll be sometime on Saturday when the, I believe it's a Dutch boat, pulls into Hoboken. And then another thing that's much upon Lauren's heart, I know we want to really intercede in this behalf, and that is as he talks to some of these men of God on what to do, the course to follow. Not that they're going to direct the course, but they're men of God. We look to them. And Charlie Fuller, as he gets a chance to talk to him on the weekend, and Jack Wirtson and these others, that Lauren will have their confidence, that they'll open up their hearts, and I know it'll mean much in our work for the future. I think those are three things for the weekend, Lauren, that are much on our heart.
Now, this is from Mr. and Mrs. Theodore Epp, and with our hearts we grieve, but in union with our Lord's Spirit we triumph. We grieve not as others which have no hope, but we triumph in the knowledge of the wisdom of our Lord. Read Romans 11:33-36 in William's translation and take his comfort. Share this message with all on the Glen. How fathomless the depths of God's resources, wisdom, and knowledge. How unsearchable are his decisions. How mysterious his methods. I say amen to that. But the hand of faith must reach out. This is what he says. For who has ever understood the thoughts of the Lord, or has ever been his advisor? Thank you. I suppose if we were advising, we'd do a lot of things differently. Thank you. Or who has ever advanced God anything to have him pay him back? For from him everything comes, through him everything lives, and for him everything exists. Glory to him forever. Let me read it again. That's wonderful. How fathomless the depths of God's resources, wisdom, and knowledge. How unsearchable his decisions, and how mysterious his methods. For who has ever understood the thoughts of the Lord, or who has ever been his advisor? Or who has ever advanced God anything to have him pay him back? For from him everything comes, through him everything lives, and for him everything exists. Glory to him forever. This is from the Forest Home staff. We have received the word. Everyone is praying. Let us know if we can help in any way. Earl Handcammer from Houston, assuring you and family and the navigators of my heartfelt sympathy in this sad hour. May the Lord keep and sustain you. This is from Bob Jones, Jr. to Delilah. Billy Barrows has just told us of Dawson's home going. We want you and the family and all the staff to know that we are remembering you in prayer and sharing with you in your sorrow. This is the end of things we cannot understand. But we can rest in the promises concerning the all things. I know you find comfort in the fact that Dawson's life was so richly used in the service of the Lord, and that over there he shall find many whom he has led to Christ. I'll say, what a rich entering in. It's your challenge as me, I can tell you that. Wasted times, opportunities. And you know something else that is really strikes me is that, as I've mentioned before, the very fact that the Lord took Doss home as he was holding up another and saving another's life. It's just so characteristic. Just so characteristic of a life lived for others. It couldn't have been more characteristic. I've seen him, you know, give his last dollar to somebody else and he didn't know where the next one was coming from. Others. Well, how about us? We got a life that's lived for others. It's just as though God wanted to seal his life with something that was pleasing to God. And as a challenge to us, to me. This is from Bob, Kari, Letty, and Janie Duggan in Hickory, Minnesota. We are with you in prayer, yet we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Just to assure you of our love and prayers, praise the Lord for what Doss's life has meant to us individually. Our love and devotion and sympathy to Lila and family and entire crew. Air mailing today, $500 to start or add to a Dawson Trotman fund to be named and naturally administered by Navigator Leaders for continuing Doss's kingdom building vision. Know that 2 Timothy 2:2 will continue paying off. Ernie and Alta Minty in Los Angeles. This is Bruce and Mary Reed in London, England. Sorrowful yet always rejoicing with many prayers. This is addressed to me. Quite a jolt about dear Doss, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. We are really behind you, Lauren, 1,000%. And just a couple other personal words. Now, may the Lord guide you in this hour. This is from Dave and Jean Rohr. If we can help, please call. And this is also from Dave and Jean Rohr. This one's to me. This one's to Lila. Our deepest sympathy, 1 Peter 1, 3-8. Did you know that last night Ruth played the piano and Lila gave a word of testimony and at the service last night and great victory? This is from the San Diego Navigators gang. Realizing your need for extra prayer at this time, we want you to know that we are standing by. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 and 9. We ought to look up a couple of these scriptures. Someone look up 1 Peter 1, 3 to 8, please. And who has it? Put your hand up. All right. And who will read 1 Corinthians 2, verses 8 and 9? Someone have it? Just put your hand up if you read it. Okay. All right, let's hear 1 Peter 1, 3 to 8.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith in his salvation, ready to reveal in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 8 and 9,
for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them.
One of the other passages that I have listed here that the Lord had used in the last 24 hours. For this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen. I get a great deal of comfort and joy and strength in my own heart to realize that you and I here together that we live our lives against the backdrop of eternity and the eternal, of the real. And it says here, while we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, last forever. And other scriptures as well. Is there any other word now that you'd like to say, Bob or Rodney? I was asked, Doug Cole called and wanted to know about the conferences and all, and I told him that the work would carry right on, and the conference will convene on Saturday. The conference is continuing at Spoon Lake, and Bob, of course, is here, and Rodney, and I'm sure that everything will be kept going and your particular responsibilities and at your post. And we will certainly keep you informed as to the developments and so on. So, anything further, Rod, that you'd like to say? Or Bob? Right. We have with us Jim and Betty Truxton of the Missionary Aviation Fellowship. It's upon Jim's heart that the Lord originally placed this vision for Missionary Aviation Fellowship. And, of course, they and their organization, as you know, recently the Lord saw fit to take one of their co-laborers, Nate Saint. And so their coming through today is certainly on the part of those who can comfort us with the comfort wherewith they themselves have been comforted of God. And they too know His sustaining grace. And they have with them some of the pictures of the Auca tribe and things that might be of interest. Now they asked me what I thought, would you like to see them? Now there may be some of you would like to, and maybe others of you not. But if you would like, I think it'd be well, just for those who would care to come this evening. If you prefer not, well, of course, and that's perfectly fine. But if we could have them, say along about, what would be a good time, would you say, Bob? 7:30. About 7:30 right here, for those of you would like. And this other thought, at a time like this, you don't feel like eating. If you can eat a little, it would be helpful. Resting, you can rest. Oftentimes, a tired body makes more difficult the burdens of the spirit and all, and it can make it heavier upon you than it need be. And I think it would be well if just we all of us shoot up a word of prayer that God will give a good night's rest to all who you and to all who are so closely allied to this situation. Is there any question or any word that some of you like to either say or ask? Just speak right up. If plans go as they are, set now, unless there's some new development, well, we will be coming back on Monday, Faith and Burke and Lila and me, and I think Ruth, and I don't know about Bruce. Whether he'll come back here or go direct to Texas, I don't know. But I know that, I know you're saying you'll be in prayer because we've been praying consistently. Is there any other word now or a question you'd like to speak right up? Yes.
I'm sure many of us have been praying for Jack Woodson. I'm wondering how he's doing for us.
Yes, I'm glad you asked it. I asked Lila today how he was, and he said he's very teary, and of course it's hit him very hard. And he would naturally feel so responsible. And we certainly want him to feel that it's not his fault. I mean, even the devil would try to come along and maybe use that. But help him to see that God and His sovereignty. But he does need our prayers especially. You can imagine what it would be like if you were in his place. Any other question? Jim. In fact, as I was thinking about asking if you'd like to say a word, and we'd like to hear from you, if you would.
One thought that keeps running through my mind as I sit here, where Betty and I drove up all this afternoon, not having heard a word of what has happened, and the first we heard of it was when we were met at the gate and told them. I'm afraid we haven't ourselves quite gotten over the first shock. And yet, having so recently gone through an experience very similar to this that you are having, we know that God is proving to you His all-sufficiency. And as Sandy was speaking of the appropriateness of God's own going, my mind went back quite a few years to the early days, even before the close of World War II, when God first gave the vision of our work in MAF and of what Doss meant to us at that time. One who spent his life holding up his brethren, encouraging, assisting. And what it meant to us in those early days when we were looking for a place to just put a secretary in it, a typewriter, and get our work underway, even before the war ended. Out on the West Coast, God had His friend ready and waiting for us, one who opened the offices of the Navigators to us. Some of you who have been in the work for a number of years will remember that Betty Green shared a part of the Navigator office back there on the West Coast for some little time until the war ended and we were able to set up our own office. Down through the years, that has been characteristic of Doss. As I sat here, I thought, my, wouldn't it be wonderful if only there was more interrelationship of that kind, not only between us as individual Christians, but between Christian organizations, that we would hold one another up, even as you of the Navigators held us up in those early hard days of getting started. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, just remember, maybe someday MAF will have its opportunity to hold up some brother in Christ in some way in the Lord's work, though we might be faithful. Remember this example that has been so wonderfully lived before us during these rich years of ministry and service. So thankful that his homegoing was as appropriate as it was, and holding another up that another life might be lived for God's glory.
Thank you, Jim. And as we pray and wait on the Lord, let's let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. It's a time when we can turn from one portion of Scripture to another and let it have its effect in our own lives, to claim specific promises in intercessory prayer for others. I just want to add this further word, that we might fail to allow it to bring us right back here. I mean, if portion after portion the Spirit of God would use in your own heart from the Bible, not trying to reason things out or try to think it away, but that God, the Holy Spirit, uses His Word to encourage and to instruct us, and as a basis for intercessory prayer. And of course, I just conclude with this little word, that we are interdependent, all of us, and but I just have the feeling that the work must go on and expand. And let's pray to that end. And maybe more people can come to know Christ, more people get into the Word, more people to have a disciplined life somehow than perhaps could have any other way. And then when we all sit down in heaven, because we'll all be there someday, all of us, that there'll be many others by the virtue of our just surrendering ourselves to God and the task. We're not sufficient for these things, but our sufficiency is of God. Okay, Bob.
Spend just a few minutes in prayer, shall we? I wonder if one of you will pray for our gang overseas this time, that as they get the message, and a lot of things they won't hear, a lot of things they'll be left in the dark with, that the God of peace will meet their need. Somebody lead us, especially for our gang overseas. Especially for Faithy and Bert, Bruce and Ruth. They've been with us on the Glen. We almost bypass them so much. You know what I'd mean if it was your dad. Great pace setter he's been to them. One of you who loves the kids as they go back to be with their mother. Pray especially for these four young lives, that this might be a real turning point for them when God gets a chance to prove himself all sufficient.
Father God, you have shown us great and sure troubles, but bring us again, because it will make us closer to you. And Lord, how we know that when our own hearts fail us, then thou art our strength and our portion of you. And right now, Lord, we know that the hearts of those who loved us and so much are lost. But Father, sometimes you realize just why we have to bring us to the end of ourselves, so that our dependency is completely on thee. And we know as never before, Lord, that you are in the heaven, that you've done what you pleased, and so we ask that Bert and Faith and Bruce and love would not be tempted even for a moment to say, why, God? Why have you taken them? But be challenged, Lord, to be able to meet him someday with the story of their own lives challenged by his. we would think especially of love. And thank you, Lord, that we know that her trust and her confidence is in you. We ask, Lord, that you give us strength to be both mother and father to you for your two claims. And we ask these things, Lord, with much confidence. So we ask them in the name of our Son.
We close in prayer. Let's join together and ask Jim Truxton to lead us, especially on behalf of Lauren. Many, many things upon his heart, many obligations, many responsibilities. That he might become the man of God's choosing for this hour. Jim, lead us, please.
Our loving Heavenly Father, how we do thank thee for thy all-sufficient grace. And what thou dost mean to us at a moment such as this. These are the times, our Father, when we prove the reality of the faith that we profess. And, oh, Father, how we thank thee for the life that truly is within us if we have submitted ourselves to the Spirit of God. We thank thee, our Father, for thy presence with us this afternoon. We thank thee for these precious messages of hope and encouragement from friends of the navigators. For the prayers of God's people all across this land and around the world. But we know, our Father, that these will sustain in these days of decision that must come as the work forges ahead. And our Father, we would pray for Lauren in a special way as he goes east. The conference there in Scroom Lake. That truly the Lord may be magnified. And that this may be a time of deep heart searching for many lives. Not only there, but in conferences around the land. And even here in the Glen. Father, somehow we believe that thou art permitting these things. In order that thy people, those who call themselves by thy name, might be shaken to the very roots of their beings, might be brought face to face with eternal realities, that we might get down to business, do this job that thou hast given to us. Oh, Father, we pray that thy Spirit shall be in the midst of every memorial service that is being held and will be held in various places, that it might be the Lord Jesus himself that shall be magnified, and that there shall be much spiritual fruit for eternity. Be with us tonight, our Father, here on the Glen in a special way. We pray that thou wilt sustain each worker by thy Spirit. Give us that peace that passes all understanding. Speak to us from thy word. Draw us very near to thyself. May these evening hours be precious to each and every one of us. May we have a good night's rest. Be renewed and strengthened in the inner man for the tasks that lie before us tomorrow. As thy work forges ahead. Knowing that it is thy work, dear Lord, and therefore does not depend upon any man. Make us to be thy disciples, and teach us, our Father, all that that means. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Let's close with a stanza of number 31. I think it'd be good to note, end on a note of triumph. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. I know that your heart is so full, and give us a chance just to give vent to the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. Number 31.